We are Glow Mountain Bike. We are a podcast with a focus on recreational women's mountain biking. Our goal is to create a community with focus on being uplifting and encouraging to one another. We all ride for different reasons. Some ride to be outdoors in nature, some for mental or physical health. Others are professional athletes. Some like to race for fun or not at all. And many of us are aspiring to become professional leisure athletes. And all of us like to have fun playing on bikes. Whatever your reason for riding, this is a place for you. Hi, I'm Julie.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Anna.
And we are coming to you. Today is April 23rd. And obviously, we're in Anna's basement.
On a rainy, rainy day.
Super cold, rainy day. Yep. It's not been many days since we recorded last because we're having to bunch up a few because we have some trips coming up and we're going to be away. So. Yeah,
that's right.
But we're here now and I'm super excited to be here.
Yep.
We have a super special guest today.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hootie hoo. Yeah. Cool. She's obviously a local. Yeah.
She knows our lingo.
She knows the lingo.
She's a Glow lady.
Oh, yes. I love listening to your podcast.
Oh, thank you. We love that you love listening to our podcast. So we have with us today Jeannie Ball. Jeannie is a local to us who has a background in physical therapy. And so today's topic is going to be injury prevention and how we can take care of our bodies to try to avoid injury. So Jeannie's here to help us with that. Yay. So thank you so much for being here.
Yay! Yeah.
We're super excited to have you. And you brought us really scrumptious treats from
Arthur.
Yes. No, from Umplebee's.
Oh, from Umplebee's.
Oh, cool. Oh,
shout out to Umplebee's.
Shout out to Umplebee's in Hanover.
Chocolate and almond croissants.
They were, trying so to be good, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, that didn't happen for me. I was trying to be good.
Now we have to go riding.
It's too rainy to ride now. We have to do a double ride next time it dries out, which might be a few days.
Yeah.
But anyways. So speaking of riding, Julie, where have you been riding?
Yeah, Boston Lot.
Finally. Yeah!
The trails are open, and wow, are they dry.
Yeah. Right?
Like, how lucky are we to be riding in April not...
Even the wet spots are dry.
Yeah, right? Even the wet spots are dry.
Like, we rode Pathfinder. It was like one teeny tiny bit of, like, one tire width of mud.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
The whole trail.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. So fun.
Yeah.
So great to be back.
I've been to Big Lot ever since they opened. I think, what, they opened on Wednesday? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've been there every day and Saturday.
That's awesome.
Have you ridden anywhere else?
Trescott.
Yeah, Glow had a Trescott ride that they said was awesome. None of us could make
it
due to conflicts, but everyone there said they had an awesome time.
I
new
love
bike
the photos.
Day for Kelly.
Yeah. What'd she get for a new bike?
She got a Specialized...
stump jumper?
It's a stump jumper. It's not the Evo. It's the...
Regular stump jumper?
No.
Epic?
Sure.
She got a Specialized.
Awesome. I couldn't... The same whip that she rode in Sedona the last couple of years that she has fallen in love with.
Okay.
Congratulations,
like me.
Kelly.
Yeah.
New bike day.
New bike day.
Yeah.
Last year, Trescott was opening new trails, so...
There's a lot of new trails.
A lot of new trails.
Yeah. Super fun.
Yep.
What
I too,
you, Anna?
Just B-Lot since we...
It's been fun, though, right?
I might have had one hurricane and then a couple B-Lots.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been so
B-Lot
good.
Is so misleading, though. Yesterday, looked at our elevation. It was like 680.
Oh, I had like 850.
Oh, but it felt like 2,000.
I climbed way more than Janet.
So, and ours...
We were together.
Our ride, I felt the opposite. Ours was 1,500.
Oh, really?
And like my heart rate stayed in like zone 2 most of the time.
Oh, wow. Okay, did you go the loop over there?
Yep.
Yeah, that side is elevation, but gradual.
Right.
We went the punchy side.
Yeah, well, we did spiny and other side and, like, lots of technical punches and climbs. It was a big upper body workout.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so good.
So great.
Back to the roots and rocks, upper body.
Yeah. And we're on and off the bikes. You know, it was good. It was good. How about you, Jeannie? Where have you been riding?
Well, I haven't really got my bike out here yet, but over Easter we went to Sedona.
Yeah.
A place I would highly recommend for mountain biking. So I biked with my daughter one day after having a severe virus, but it was totally awesome. And I did a beginner ride with an accompanying guide.
Nice.
And it's so funny because he kept going, oh, there's an uphill, there's an uphill. And all their uphills are like so slow and gradual. Nothing compared to
my kind of riding.
Yeah, so it was totally awesome. And then he's like, oh, they tell us at the resort not to take you over this water ridge or whatever. We're just like, ah, no problem. And it was just a blast.
Nice.
So
oh, nice.
It's really fun.
I love so much how you ride with your daughter.
Yeah. I love riding with my daughter.
That's
so
cool.
How old is she?
She's 20.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. She's like our boys.
Yeah.
I actually think she's the same birthday as your son.
Oh. November
3rd?
4th.
Oh, okay.
So close.
So we were probably in the hospital at the same time.
Wow. you were next door to each other.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So we're looking forward to more and more trail systems opening up. Ascutney shouldn't be too much longer.
Very close.
Woodstock, yeah.
When hurricanes open.
Yeah, so by the next time we record, hopefully we'll have even more trail systems exploring.
Yep.
Cool. All right, well, moving on with our bike parts and pieces. I realized that we were so anxious to talk about the rubber, our tires, that we went from axle to tires and we totally disregarded the rim.
Whoops. Yeah, so, that's pretty important.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about the rim. Well, on purpose, we didn't want to go into too much detail
on the hub.
I'm like, she's doing hand motion. What's the, the spinny thing?
I did get it. That was a good charade.
Yes, we didn't want to talk. We purposely were not going to go back and revisit the hub, but let's talk about rims. So the first thing about your rim is your diameter size, and that's pretty easy, right? You either are riding 26, 27.5, or 29ers. And now I like to say, and combinations of such.
Yes.
Because with the mullets, now it's all over the place. So once you know your size, the next thing you want to think about is the compound. So rims basically come in two different compounds, aluminum or carbon, and they both, as always, have pros and cons. So as you can imagine, the carbon rims are lighter, they're stiffer, they're more expensive.
Of course.
They're more responsive.
Yep.
They're less likely to go out of true. Mm-hmm. Now, this was something that I learned about carbon rims is that so your aluminum rims, if you something bad happens on the trail, will often dent and you can just continue to ride.
Right.
But with a carbon rim, they'll actually crack. So the whole rim will like be in pieces.
That's not going to help.
Right. Now, they can be repaired. So a lot of carbon rims, and I wonder, Janet, are you riding carbon rims?
Yeah.
So a lot of carbon rims now are coming with lifetime warranties.
Wow.
So they can actually repair them. So if they do break.
Oh, good.
So if you're going to invest that kind of money in carbon, they actually can fit them.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that, like, for certain applications of riding, so if you're downhill, enduro, if you're a racer, do you want to risk that happening and losing your race?
Right.
Right.
So for that reason, a lot of those riders apparently are still more
aluminum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can still, you can dent your aluminum rim and finish your race.
And keep going. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You can keep going.
Makes sense.
The other thing is because carbon is stiffer, it's going to be a less comfortable ride.
Ah.
Right. So it's not going to have quite as much give. Mm-hmm. But the benefit being
lighter,
super light.
That's why I went with it.
So that's that. And the rim width is really important with your rims in general. So you want to make sure that your rim and your tire match. So rim width is usually measured from the internal dimension. If it's too narrow for the tire you're riding, you can get some side-to-side movement, which is not going to feel good.
Yep.
And you can also have the tire come right off the rim if you're riding aggressively, if it's too much play. And if it's too narrow, you'll end up getting a sort of a flat profile, so sort of a square, and then your treads won't be where they should be.
Yep,
your shoulder treads will be too far up and not as far as they should be. So in general, the inner rim width for most cross-country bikes is somewhere, is much more narrow at 20 to 30 mils, and the tire width generally 2.1 to about 2.3.
Mm-hmm.
How wide do you guys ride?
30.
Your rim's a 30?
Yeah.
I don't know what my rims are, but I think my tire is a 2.4.
2.4. So you're more trail size.
Yeah, my
tire. Yeah. So the trails are more 30 mils or thereabouts, and the tire width anywhere from 2.3 to 2.5. So yeah. that's where I'm at, too. And then enduro, a lot wider, so 30 to 35 and 2.4 to 2.6. Yeah. And some of those will even go up to, you know, the 2.8 and the pluses, the 3.0s.
Wow.
Yep.
So... the rims can also, nowadays, most rims come as tubeless ready. So, which really, a lot of them just mean, like, you know, once you put tape in, most rims can be tubeless ready. You just have to prepare them.
Just cover those holes.
And then, have you guys ever heard of hooked or hookless rims?
That was a first for me.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it either. The more research I did on it, though, it's like, there's a reason, because of, like, in our generation... It was about 20 years ago that mountain biking actually switched. So most of us are all hookless, and we never had to deal with hooked rims. But it is just what it says. What is that? About 20 years ago, they switched mountain biking to all hookless. So we all only sort of know hookless rims. But a hooked rim is just like you can imagine is right on the beaded part. There's like a little hook. And apparently this is still a thing in road riding and gravel bikes.
Oh.
So that's why I wanted to mention it, because I know a lot of our listeners are kind of, you know, have one of each in their quiver. So if you're thinking like, oh yeah, I need to think about my rims, it'd be interesting to know if you're hooked or hookless on your gravel bikes or your road bikes.
Interesting.
So in that community apparently is switching over as well, but it's just taking a little bit longer time. And that is all I have on rims.
Fascinating. Oh,
yeah. Sort of simple compared to other bike parts and pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite as many things to think about.
I had no idea, though, the rim determines what width tire you can have. Because I always, when I started riding, I went from a fat bike to a regular bike. But I wanted a wider tire than the fat tire. And Jay said, well, how wide are your rims? I'm like, I don't know. What is it? Why?
Yeah. What do you care?
Yeah.
Thinking it's just about the fork or whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, can I get a little bit wider tire? Why not? It's still a 27 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be like, you're not going to like that.
Yeah. Nope.
You're right.
But yeah, it's important.
It's also fun. Like, I can't wait. And for my next bike trip, when I rent a bike or I'm at a festival and I'm riding a demo, like, these are some things I really want to
check
take
out.
Take note of see if you can see a difference.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know.
Right.
Does it all feel the same? Like, or we're pretty adaptable riders, right?
I think it'd be like so fun. Like, the thing to demo, like, it would be to take your bike and go to the Industry 9 tent and just put different wheel sets on your bike, because the frame, the geometry, all of that is staying the same, and the only thing that you're changing,
that's a good point,
is those wheel sets. How much of a difference does that make to your riding style? And really,
does it make $2,500?
Exactly.
I know, yeah.
And maybe it does.
Maybe it does.
I know it certainly looks super cool.
It does look
maybe
super cool.
Maybe it's the placebo effect.
Well, look is important.
Look is important. Obviously.
Nice pimped out bike.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to our main topic of injury prevention. So we know that there are lots of things that we can do to avoid injury. And we've talked about a lot of those things on our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, protective gear. We're not going to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who have not listened to episode 4, season 1, I would encourage you to go back and listen to protective gear. And we'll talk all about pads and helmets and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We also know a well-fitted bike, a well-serviced bike, can really decrease your risk of injuries. You also want to make sure you're riding within your skill range and that it's okay to get off your bike and scout features and not just think you have to ride everything sight unseen first time through.
Or even fourth, fifth time through.
There
that was me at Spiny. First time to see.
You always have that one.
Oh my God,
feature.
I walked so much.
But we're not talking about it.
Okay, we're not talking about it.
So those are the things we are not going to talk about today. What we do want to focus on is what can we do to train our bodies to avoid injury? And that's why we have Jeannie here, because she's like the expert at all of this.
Or at least one that can...
Not from an injury standpoint. That's not what I meant.
Probably not.
The rest of us might be experts at that.
Yeah.
We have all had...
We've all had injuries.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's two main types of injuries. So we can have acute injuries or chronic.
Yep.
And acute injuries are ones like it wasn't there yesterday and it's there today and it's pretty bad. Usually happens after a crash or you somehow exited your bike in a non-controlled
less than ideal fashion.
Yeah.
like, oops. No
way. I mean, because, but sometimes it's not even like a crash, but it's a, you know, like you stepped off totally. In the wrong spot and you twisted your ankle or
yep.
something.
Yep.
And then there's the chronic injuries, and those are problems that have been lingering. We tend to not deal with them. They get worse, they get worse, they get worse, until eventually they keep us off our bikes. And I think we're all guilty for that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well.
Absolutely.
At least I shouldn't speak for all of us. I can speak for myself.
Myself, totally yeah. I had a bad hip issue for a long time post-babies, and I never dealt with it, and I just kept biking through it, and bad Julie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is sometimes, you know, these acute chronic, especially chronic injuries, you got to look at your lifestyle and what you're doing and what you're doing in your work, what you're doing in your free time, what else has happened to you, because sometimes you've got a, you know, injury that's set up just from your previous activities, and then yep. you do mountain biking and it just exacerbates or mm-hmm. breaks the straw, and then
yeah. Yep. Yep. A couple years ago, I had epicondylitis.
Oh yeah.
Right. So
nice. Okay. What's that?
So that's like tennis elbow.
Okay. Inflammation.
Tennis yeah. elbow. That's my elbow. Remember, I couldn't lift my bike over. I could ride, but I couldn't like yeah, anything yeah. overhead or any supination, like turning your palm yep. open. Just like okay. like I couldn't open yeah. a can.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Like it was really. It hurt so bad. Did I stop riding? No. Did I do some physical therapy? A little bit. Like, I watched some YouTube videos. I never went to the doctor. Never. And at the same time, I had, like, neck pain and a little bit of shoulder. Oh, yeah. But that was, like, minor, right? It was really just my elbow. And I'm just like, eh, it's fine. I can ride. It's fine. It's yeah. fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Until one day I'm riding, and all of a sudden, there's this huge pop in my arm. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? And then I'm like, oh, that feels better. I tore my bicep.
Damn. Ouch!
And it rolled up. Like, I had a Popeye arm. It rolled awesome. Up in my arm, and it just hung out there.
Ow!
I have this huge, and you can still kind of see it.
Ow! Ow!
Yeah, that's what happens when the tendon goes and your yep. muscle shrivels up.
Yep. Ooh. Yep, so it's like...
So, the moral of the story is...
I probably should have dealt with that a little yes. sooner.
Okay, yeah, I don't want the Popeye.
And I also think, I'm not sure if it was biking... Or knitting.
You're right.
Oh, knitting definitely, because I got it, and I had to stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you talk about lifestyle, right? Yeah. Like, what are yes. the two things I spend my most time yeah. doing?
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, I have a sweater in progress that I had to stop because I got tendonitis.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's knitting.
Yeah. So you can knitting. Still bike.
Knitting.
See, I told you I could still bike.
Yeah. Take care of it and then bike. Yeah.
So, like, don't be me. Don't yeah. do that. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, do as recommend. I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
So, for real, though.
Yeah. So, Jeannie, tell us about our bodies and how we use them with mountain biking.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd do a little bit of a background and talk about some of the muscles that we use. In your skeletal, that's what we're talking about, is your skeletal system. You have more than 600 muscles in your body. Mountain biking wow. uses almost all these muscles.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Full body
mountain
workout.
Biking is a totally awesome sport. It's great for your heart. It's great for your, you know, well-being, stress. There's so many positives about mountain biking. Unlike road cycling, mountain biking...
What are the smiling muscles called? Because I don't think those get a workout on when you're rowing.
Mountain biking
involves
more dynamic movements of the upper body to maneuver the bicycle over and around obstacles.
Yeah.
And to aid in absorbing and reducing the shocks.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
All that.
Yeah, road cycling uses mostly lower body muscle groups. Mountain biking with varying terrain requires muscles of the upper body and trunk for your lot of core work here, particularly when ascending and descending steep terrain. Here's an idea of the muscles you use. Okay. Like, for your upper body, yeah. I'll review, because we yeah. basically know lower body. Your rotator cuff muscles, which is your... supraspinatus, infraspinatus, subscapularis, and your teres
is
minor.
Is that this?
Yeah. Sounds so official.
It's in your back.
In your back.
Scapular muscles. Yeah.
I need the lower.
Your wing.
Yep. Yep. So to help make,
stretching.
They help make your shoulder and arm motions and help stabilize your shoulder joint.
Oh.
Now, the shoulder joint has a very, you know, it's a ball and socket joint, but unlike your hip, the socket is very you know, not deep at all.
Oh,
so you really rely on a lot of your tendons, which your tendons tend to be weak. But, you know, to support your shoulder, you want to really keep your muscles strong.
Now, we're looking at Julie. Because
last year, hers came out of socket.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a question. Tendons versus muscles. Tendons keep your muscles in place?
Tendons are what attach your muscles to the bone. Ligaments are what support the skeletal structure. And neither one of those are, you know, when you rip a tendon, well, tendons might have, might have a little bit of circulation, but ligaments, no. So when you rip your ACL, you know, it doesn't have a blood supply, therefore it doesn't repair itself.
That's why when I tore my bicep tendon, my bicep just rolled up into my arm.
Well, it rolled up into your arm because you must have done a complete tear, so it's no longer attached to the bone.
Right.
So then the muscle just shrivels up.
Oh,
and then, did you have to have it reattached?
I did not.
Still,
I could have, but the 9 months of recovery versus loss of 10 to 20% of strength.
Maybe you didn't have. Maybe you had a partial tear, so that your muscle, you know, and just some of your muscle fibers might have contracted up, but not all of them. So, and I'm not totally the expert on that, but anyway, so your rotator cuff, they are also used in shock absorption while riding bumpy and rocky single trails. They help pull the arm towards the body while pedaling uphill and out of the saddle. Your deltoid has, you know, you have an anterior, middle, and posterior deltoid, so it's like a three-part on your shoulder, and these are used while standing up, and they also help with shock absorption while descending. Your trapezius, which covers basically from the lower part of your skull, it's got, you know, upper trap, middle trap, lower trap, and covers a big part of your back. It raises and supports the shoulder, especially when riding out of the saddle. Your latissimus dorsi.
Mine don't get that much of a workout.
You don't get it. At least not climbing.
Everybody's trap gets a workout, especially like if you look at people. Now, you want to look at posture, and a normal posture is your ear over your shoulder over your hips, your hip over your knee, over your lateral malleolus.
Wait, say that again.
So shoulder, ear over your shoulder, shoulder over your hips, hips over your knee, and then over your lateral malleoli. So that would be ideal posture, but especially with computers today, you'll see everybody with a forward head. So, so sometimes you want to just back up against the wall to get your head back, which does not feel normal. It might give you a double chin, but
no photos.
Which you don't like. Yeah, no photos. So, you know, that will constantly, when your head is forward, gravity's pulling on it. So your upper trap is always working. And the same thing with poor posture and rounded shoulders, your middle trap is always working.
I mean,
so that just gets fatigued. And that's why,
really
people love to have their shoulders massaged or the back massaged, is because that muscle is fatiguing. So
I wish everybody could see us now because we're all sitting super straight.
Good job, ladies. Good job, ladies. Well, also, you know, in your upper arms mountain biking, you use your triceps, biceps brachii, and a lot of forearm. The forearms are hugely important in mountain biking. They play a role in braking, balancing, and especially, again, during steep and fast descents. Your serratus anterior assists your pectoral muscles with shoulder abduction, pulling the shoulder blades forward, and also helps in shock absorption.
So your boobies.
Likewise, your pec. Other muscles used while mountain biking are in the lower leg muscles, primarily the quadriceps and hamstrings, along with the glutes, the buttocks muscle, calf, chest, and core. So,
that about covers it.
There you go.
It is a whole body workout.
Totally. In your core, you know, your rectus abdominis and the obliques, they maintain stability and balance. You know, you're always using those when you're pedaling, when you're standing, doing any activities. Calf muscles include your gastroc and soleus, and they act as stabilizers throughout the pedal stroke and help to produce about 20% of the power load And they're most active when you sweep down and slightly go past 6 o'clock, like if you're pedal.
Oh, that's getting the mud off the shoe.
Yeah,
wiping,
there you
wiping
go.
Off the dog poop.
Yeah, wiping off. Well, I said mud off the shoe. Dog poop works.
Dog poop when you're hiking. So that's that. And then your hip flexors play a big role. Oh. Your iliopsoas, which makes up the psoas major and iliacus. And then also your psoas minor, the rectus femoris, which is also, it's your middle quadricep, but that crosses the hip and the knee. So, you know, we'll get into that later with some hip problems that people don't always stretch out their hips, which are very important.
Okay, do you guys have flexible hips?
Mine are, I think, medium.
I don't think so, because when I do, when we will talk about it later, there's like the chairs, you know,
figure
stretch or
four.
Something. Yeah, the figure four. And that's always hard for me to
me
do.
Me too.
So I feel like mine are not. I feel like mine are too tight.
And, okay, is that from biking?
Yeah.
Or it can be from a lot of things, which we'll get into in a minute.
Okay, sorry.
So just backing up about types of muscle contractions, you have a concentric, it can be concentric, eccentric, or isometric,
which we use.
So concentric is the active shortening of a muscle. Eccentric is lengthening while it's under tension, works to resist the force of gravity, and allows for control and lowering. So like if you are holding... if you're holding your weight, or say in a squat, the quads and the glutes will eccentrically contract.
That's getting shorter.
Eccentrically contract is getting longer.
Get longer.
So hams, your hamstrings will concentrically contract on the downward face. Then your quads and glutes on the upward face will concentrically contract.
Right, and you squeeze your butt.
And we'll talk about this too.
Oh, yeah, concentric.
Wow. You know,
concave, convex.
There's so much with your body that, you know, keeping it in balance is so important. You have muscle groups that are, we'll call agonists and antagonists. An agonist muscle is the muscle that's contracting.
Yeah.
The antagonist is the muscle that is relaxing or lengthening. And then, you know, examples of agonist and antagonist group pairs are like your biceps and your triceps, your hamstrings and your quads, your glutes and your hip flexors, gastrocnemius, tibialis anterior, your pecs and your latissimus dorsi. So I mention this because when you're looking to either strengthen or stretching, you want to keep in mind balance. So you want to keep a balance in the length of the flexibility of the muscle pairs. Say tight quads can affect the performance of the hamstrings and vice versa. Also, you want to look at the muscles where they attach. For example, the rectus femoris is a quad muscle that crosses both the hip and knee. So it acts as a hip flexor and knee extensor and can also tilt your pelvis. Another hip flexor, as I mentioned before, is the psoas muscle, and this attaches to your femur and all five lumbar vertebrae. When the psoas muscle gets tight and shortened from constant flexion, they're going to pull on these vertebrae and increase the curve of your lower back, causing what we would call an increased lumbar lordosis.
Is that why we get sore back, low back pain?
You could. It could be because you have tight hip flexors. This can lead to several problems. Some of the problems would be like the lumbar discs get compressed. Your pelvis is tilted forward, compromising the movement of the head of the femur. And you're likely to feel stiffness, ache, and pain in the front of your hip from a short, aggravated muscle. I use the hip flexors as an example because while riding, they are in constant state of flexion or a shortened position. The hip is never fully flexed or extended, which can lead to tightness. Also, in daily life, the hips are flexed, shortened while standing either for work, watching TV, or a long car ride.
Well, so if I'm pushing my bike up the hill, I'm like really doing a really good thing for my hips because I'm extending them as I'm pushing my bike up the hill.
Yeah, there you go.
See? But so I'm just paying attention to my hip flexors.
That's right. Yes. I'm taking care of myself.
But
I'm
isn't the ready position, you're kind of straight up somewhat? How about standing climbing? Standing on your bike, just biking. Standing.
And not still leaning kind of forward, though.
You're still, you're
not still leaning forward, though. Yeah. Just standing. Just flats.
On the flats?
Why would you do that?
Just stretch out the hip flexor.
Or you could just push up the hill.
Which, as we're talking about stretching later, it's always important, you know, if you're going to do a static stretch or stretch, is to stretch when your muscles are warm. That's right. When you'll get most
re-lengthening.
Yeah.
So tell us about the importance of warm-up. Because we're really bad about warm-up.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
We should do more in the zoo at B-Lot before we go up.
But what about other ones? What about if you're riding a little... Woodstock, like other trails
where you don't have an option.
Yeah, they go up right away.
Right. It just goes straight up. Yeah.
Like you're already in an easy gear and you're like,
I guess you just go slower.
Well, you just want to, first of all, it's good. A warm up is good. Just to facilitate the range of motion in your joints that you're going to use.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, even mountain biking, it'd be good to do arm circles or things like that. Like, you know, concentrate on some of the smaller muscles that stabilize the shoulder joint versus all the big ones that are holding you in place, giving you stability, etc. You know, even your fingers, you can find mountain biking, you know, people don't always stretch out their wrists or their forearms, which it's huge with mountain biking.
But you don't so talk a little bit about static versus, what's the other term?
Static and dynamic. Okay. Right. So stretching can be either static or dynamic. Okay. Static stretching is performed without movement. One gets into a position and holds the stretch for 20 or 30 seconds. Static stretching is best performed as a cool down when your muscles are warm. Static stretching prior to a race or a ride is not recommended.
Yeah.
And don't do it.
Yeah.
Oops.
Do it after your ride.
Yeah.
After. Things to consider when static stretching after your ride is don't stretch beyond what's comfortable. A slight degree of discomfort is normal, but you shouldn't feel sharp pain. You know, if you really push it, you can rip some of the muscle fibers.
Okay. Yeah.
Be gentle. Use smooth, slow movements. Avoid jerking or bouncing movements while holding the stretch. Bouncing sets your muscle up for a contraction. So it's kind of like teasing it. So you want to just hold a slow stretch for 20 or 30 seconds.
Which can seem like a really long time sometimes.
Or you know what? If you're not doing well, do it 5 or 10. You know, just start slowly into your stretching program. Don't forget to breathe. I used to always have patients and tell them I'd charge them, you know, in the hospital when everybody holds their breath, you know, sometimes exercising.
So natural.
And again, start out slowly with a few stretches and add more repetitions and stretches as you become more flexible. We can go over some specific stretches or we can do that later. I can talk about dynamic stretching.
Yeah.
Which is
what you do at the beginning.
Yeah, a dynamic stretch is movement. It's a movement type of stretching. Uses muscles themselves to warm up and bring about a stretch. They're active movements where a joint and muscles go through a full range of motion. Dynamic stretching can be effective at warming up the body before exercise or activities.
So give us examples of what we could do for that. The beginning of our ride, like I heard you say arm circles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can do,
I do a lot of chest open and close.
Your trunk.
Yeah.
Oh, rotating your shoulders and moving your trunk around.
If you're, you know, I can give you specific stretches, but if you really just think of your joints, like all your joints you're using, you know, open, close your fingers, move your wrists up and down, do circles, bend and flex your elbows, raise your hands up over your head, do all your shoulder motions. Yeah. It will go, you can flex your shoulders, abduct your shoulders, extend your shoulders. You know, you get that with the circles forward and circles backward.
Yep.
What I like is what I call it, you know, Miss Sunshine, is I cross my hands and put opposite hands on my hips, and then I just come up and open into a big circle.
What do you call that?
That really
Miss Sunshine?
Sunshine.
Okay, let's all do that together.
Then
cross your arms and put your hands on your hip flexors.
Yeah.
And
then just raise your arm up and open. So, you know, that's a good one.
Day. Yeah.
You know, just to warm up your rotator cuff is what I do.
Feels nice.
But, you know, like your hips, you can just, you know, march in place or, you know, jog in place or, you know, high hips. You can bend and flex your knees or, you know, just do a slow ride around the parking lot. That will get your legs in shape. You don't have to,
That's easy.
You know, do
while you're waiting squats. Or whatever. Yeah.
While everyone's getting set up.
Just a little ride in the parking lot.
And what about ankles?
Squats? Yeah.
Because I feel like there's lots of ankle injuries in mountain biking.
Up downs. Whatever they're called.
Up downs.
Yeah.
Well, you could do toe raises. Circles, you can walk on your heels.
Yep.
You know, it's important too, you finish your ride, to stretch out your calves, because they've been very active. And usually what I like to do, I mean, if you do downward dog, you're going to stretch out a lot of things. You're going to get your hamstrings, you're going to get your back, you're going to get your glutes, and you're going to get your ankles.
And if
you can get your heels down.
And your wrists.
Your wrists. So, you know, like, gentle yoga is really good.
Yeah.
All right.
You know?
And we know this, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We just don't
say that again. Gentle yoga is really good.
Really good.
We should all be doing gentle yoga all the time.
I would advocate for that,
Yes.
Coming
or at least, you know, even if you just do it once a week, you at least get it in.
Even that's enough.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, just
commit to that.
Yeah. Once a week should be easy.
Or, you know, like what I like to say is pick five exercises, you know, and then, you know, you can warm up with five, you can stretch with five, because, you know, you're not always just specifically stretching one muscle group, like downward dog does a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, and then what's the reverse dog, upward dog, you know, then you get the front of you.
Is that cobra?
So,
I don't know.
No, cobra's a little different.
Oh, okay.
But like the pigeon pose is really good for your hips as well.
That's hard.
It's a hard one.
It's hard for me. That one hurts bad.
But it's so good.
I mean, so good.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Warming
up. So, how are we going to, what are we going to do with our glow rides? We've got to start somehow incorporating.
We need to figure out five pre and five after.
Yeah.
Like, ride around the parking lot, do the shoulder rolls. And
the sunshine.
The sunshine.
Yeah, you can even do, you know, shoulder shrugs.
Yeah.
Shoulder shrugs and then protraction,
you know,
retraction.
I think we just start doing it. People will, you know, it's not like we have to announce it or anything.
No.
But people will follow, you know, the positive
Or they could join
intention.
Or like you used to do where we all introduced ourselves. Like, I haven't been on a lot of glow rides, but, you know, and if you introduce yourself, just start the five exercises while you're in your circle.
That's a great
great time while we're going through introductions.
Yeah.
That's a great and then you might have other people that have their favorite exercise, and you'll figure out what works best for everybody.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, new intro to the glow rides. Stretching.
So stretching before and after.
Yep.
Now, what about, I don't even like to ask this because it just hurts so bad, but I know it's so good for you. Can you explain to us what makes rolling so important?
Or foam rolling?
Foam rolling. Rolling.
I love foam rolling.
You love it? I do not love it.
You're alone. You're alone, Jeannie.
You're alone, Jeannie.
She's not alone. There's so many people that love
it. I do it.
My brother loves it.
I do it consistently. And I look at it as a self-massage. It's just, it's so good. And you might not like foam rolling because you're so tight.
That might be it.
That's why.
And especially, like,
and your foam roller, right, Jeannie? There's different types of foam rollers
You can
that
get
are more aggressive than others.
Exactly. Like, you can get I have a couple.
Is there one that's made like a beanbag?
I don't think that's the point.
That's the kind I need.
Yeah, that's a couch.
Oh, I could do that.
There you go. Yeah.
But
or go get a massage. I absolutely love it. I find it's the only thing on my iliotibial IT band that runs along the side of your hip. It's the only, which is really hard to stretch out. I find that's the only way I can keep it happy, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's an important one for bikers too, am I correct?
Huge.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm tight in my hamstrings. I need to do more. What are you tight?
My hips are my worst.
My hammies aren't bad.
My hamstrings.
No, here's I'm pretty good.
My quads,
good.
It's my hamstrings.
My hips. Mm-hmm.
Your hips, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all different, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Okay. My shoulders don't tend to feel it.
No. I think swimming helps me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And swimming is a great exercise, and I always watch you on Strava, Janet.
Yeah.
Is that you cross train a lot? So
I do.
That is super.
I try
because
to.
Then swimming too is a great core, great upper body. Yeah, I mean, again, just like mountain biking, you're using all your muscles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really like foam rolling because it also, it improves circulation to your muscles. Yeah. It'll loosen up connective tissue and help with myofascial release.
Yeah.
It can reduce muscle inflammation, increase range of motion, and increase blood flow to the muscles.
Well,
so if you look at it, you know, like blood flow, push on your nail, you can see where, you know, you get the foam rolling does a similar thing.
So does it get better?
I think it does. Yeah, it does.
Because you become less tight because you're taking care of your body better.
It works.
And then it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah. Fine.
You're not alone. There's plenty of people that don't like foam
rolling. You
know
what's hard for me about it is I'm not that coordinated. And so getting into the various positions with the roller underneath me, I feel so, just like yoga sometimes. Like, yes, I just.
Am I doing this right?
Right. Right.
This really hurts. This can't be right.
Yeah. And there's different size rollers.
Yes. It's all different types. I have like five different rollers at home.
Yeah, I have a bunch.
A long one, a short one, a hard one, one with knobbies.
Wide diameter, thin diameter.
Well, you know, it's also helps with, you know, like myofascial release. You get fascia, which is connective tissue, throughout your body. You know, and sometimes these layers of fascia bind down. And, you know, yeah, you can stretch, but sometimes foam rolling, I think, loosens up this fascia.
Yeah.
So then your muscles can contract, slide smoothly, so they contract better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just good for
loosening
up connective tissue. I say you have a three-dimensional spider web in your body.
Yeah.
I mean, connective tissue covers everything.
It does. Okay. That myofascia, right?
Yeah.
I went to a thing at Open Door where they did this myofascia on yourself. Oh, my God, I never felt so good afterwards.
Yeah.
Like the myofascial release?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Which foam rolling will do.
Right.
I should look that up and do it. I did like it. The end result was like, oh, my God, I feel so loose and good.
Yeah.
All right. Julie, are you gonna start rolling?
Maybe.
Me too. I'm thinking about about finding the rollers. I think we have five or six of them in this house.
Yeah.
Get them out.
And you can look because there's different consistencies. Like I have a softer one that if I haven't done it for a long time, I'll start with that. And like actually when I ski every morning before, I always do my quads.
And Jeannie's a big skier.
Yeah.
A really great skier.
I'm a wannabe. I follow Stacia and Jim around to learn how to ski.
And I follow Jeannie.
Yeah, there you go. That was really fun when you came.
We had a ton of fun this year at the mountain, didn't we? You guys were awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So rolling is something we're going to add to our repertoire. Now, what about, we've mentioned yoga. We should all do it.
Well, I think yoga's great. Okay. Yoga's great for, you know, stretching out muscles. It uses poses so, you know, you isometrically and, you know, strengthen your body. So Pilates is another one.
Yeah.
You know, you could throw out there too.
Really core-oriented.
Really core-oriented. That's good.
I do this mobility tape, which for me, that's like my yoga. Yoga, well, I'm not into, obviously, you can believe this, the meditative yoga. Not me.
Jenny has a hard time just breathing and staying
still.
You have to stay still. Jenny has a hard time staying still.
Right. But there's different things you can do. Like just yoga. Like I do these mobility tapes, which I think is kind of like, it's stretching.
You can even just skip the meditation part.
You
know, like, you know, you could just pick out the movements you like, like downward dog, triangle pose, or stuff like that. Because, you know, things like triangle pose get the rotation element in there.
Oh, yeah, the warrior, the whole warrior sequence.
Yeah, I love do like all the, everything with a twist.
Feels so good. Yeah. Yeah, the warrior sequence feels good on the hips.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What is it called? Like, Simbasanya flow? I don't know.
Yes.
There's a couple series that I like that make it nice.
Yeah, my daughter subscribes to Peloton.
That's what I do.
And then she just gets it on our TV, gets out a yoga mat, and picks which one she wants to do.
But you pick an instructor.
And you do Adrian, right?
I do
exactly.
Yoga with Adrian.
I do Mark Loren mobility.
And there's like short ones. There's 10-minute ones.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah. And there's like yoga for bikers.
And my bike coach on that series crosses over to yoga, and he'll do ride series that line up specifically to his yoga series.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of neat, you know, listening to them.
Yeah.
So another thing we could do, you know, sometimes on our rides we have some periods of wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We could be doing some stuff.
And we could use that time.
Yeah.
Instead of just chit-chatting and taking photos.
Is there any danger in that? Because, like, when you're mid-ride, like, loosening and lengthening your muscles?
Like, doing the shoulder rolls or...
Well shoulder static. Rolls are... Yeah, I wouldn't do static. Yeah. You know what? You really need to focus on your static one.
And I was actually thinking also of strengthening. So we've talked a lot about stretching. Oh, yeah. We've talked about the muscles themselves, but we haven't really talked about strengthening.
Good point.
Like, just doing... Some deadlifts, some one-leg deadlifts on the side of the trail. I don't know. Like, what would that be like in the middle of a ride?
Or just,
if you're in the fast group who's already up front and you're waiting for the others.
Why not, I guess.
I don't know. What do you
think? You know what? Keep your rides and chit-chat there. And then pick five ahead of time. So you do your dynamic warm-up. So a dynamic warm-up will also kind of strengthen you gently.
Sure.
If you're going to do, you know, like... For strengthening, I just separate it out and do one day of strengthening where you might do weights or, you know, squats are awesome.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Roman deadlift, okay, because you know, that's where you can either do it two-legged or one-legged.
What's the Roman deadlift?
And that's when you're standing and you might have a weight and you just keep it close to your body and you head down toward the floor. You don't have to go to the floor. You just go where it feels comfortable for you. But in that, with people with tight hamstrings, it will eccentrically, you work your hamstrings eccentrically on the way down and then concentrically on the way up.
So those are good,
So that,
after
that's,
about five or six, my leg starts to shake.
That's a great one to do. Yep. You know, squats, side squats, planks are always good.
She said the P word.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, planks. Planks.
Oh, I love planks.
Planks and side planks are good because you gotta get your
planks.
Planks
so hard.
Know what I do for squats? When you're brushing your teeth in the morning, okay? So you've got to brush your teeth long enough. I do like 33 to 50 squats while I'm brushing my teeth.
I love that.
Yeah. So you get up. Check. You got your squats.
Yeah.
And you start you warming up for your day.
Yeah. And you can build yourself up. I was chatting with Janet and Anna last week about this. I want to get back to when I was doing 100 squats every single day.
Yeah.
You can't start out the gate at that, but start with brushing your teeth, doing 25, you add another five on the next week.
See, then maybe you do side squats as you're folding your laundry.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Build it into your chores.
Whatever.
Yeah, multitask. Like
those little chores that you can do.
Well, I started doing squats because my dog got old. So, like, we were walking around in a circle.
Yeah.
And then he would take long, so while I waited for him, I'd do 25.
Oh,
and then the next point, I get to the next point, I do 25. Wow. So usually on his like 20-minute walk, I would get 100 squats in.
Wow.
So, you know, figure that one out.
Yeah. So I kind of think like for skiers, there's always like they have like dry line training, right?
Yeah.
Like before ski season, you do all this stuff to get your legs all ready to ski. And us bikers, especially those of us that kind of ride all year, it's really easy to just be like, well, riding is my exercise. Like, I don't do the strength. I don't do the stretching.
Yeah.
But I think it could totally add and up your game if you actually did some of these
and prevent injury.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's the
keep you riding.
Keep you riding. Yeah. That's
keep you on the trails happily.
The thing that's going to prevent injury is, you know, mostly your stretching. You know,
it is.
Well, I mean, keeping, because you guys ride all the time.
Yeah.
So you guys are strong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially Janet here. He never seems to sit still. I mean, she's hiking, she's walking, she's
swimming,
running,
she's mobility.
It's just like, you know,
doing it all.
First of all, if you read her Strava, you get exhausted.
Yeah.
I don't even put my gardening. Gardening's work.
It is such work.
Oh, yeah. I pull my squat now.
That's a lot of squats.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gardening.
And then I get sore hamstrings.
I'm like, I didn't know I was there for so long.
I thought I was pretty okay in my hammies until it's
an hour passes and you're like, wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you do during your day that are strange. I mean, vacuuming.
You know?
Like you can vacuum and
try not to do that. You know,
stuff like that. Yeah, you put all that off. Then you head outside. It's like,
yeah.
You don't see
You're right, though. You're right.
So,
Cool.
So many things.
So many things we can do.
Yep.
Now, Jeannie's a glow, she's a devoted glow listener. And so she knows how much we like lists.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you brought us a list
Let's see.
That we Which list to share. Do you want? We want the list that kind of sums up the list of 10 that has 13 things on it.
Do you have that one? Injury.
Okay.
The injury prevention list. Okay. First of all, warm up. It's crucial to have a regular warm up routine that prepares the body for physical challenges and demands of the activity. Yep. Warming up will gradually increase blood flow to the muscles in preparation for a more intense activity.
All right, ladies, committed to warm up.
The other thing is a cool down. Take time after your ride to cool down and stretch. This will help prevent stiff muscles and delayed onset muscle soreness.
So afterglow, we got to add a little stretching in.
Yep.
Especially when we're doing parking lot afterglow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Afterglow
not
stretch.
Not just the pint curls.
Not just bicep curls.
Right. Cardiovascular conditioning. This is what I really need to do. Aerobic training will prevent fatigue and overuse injuries. Okay. Agility training, because, you know, you guys are banking around curves, things like that, you don't realize. So agility training can be particularly helpful in mountain bikers because it works to improve the ability of the body to quickly adapt to a change in direction, motion, and velocity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's basically riding B-lot.
Mm-hmm. It's basically riding B-lot.
Flexibility training helps with stiff joints and muscles that ultimately lead to injured joints. And muscles, improving the flexibility of the body will also work to decrease the likelihood of injury.
Flexibility.
Yeah. Always wear a helmet. A good quality helmet offers substantial protection and will minimize any head injury.
Yep. No brainer.
Yeah, and in my case, we just definitely have to.
Yeah.
Wear adequate protective gear. Eyeglasses made from polycarbonate materials offer invaluable protection against dust, wind, sand, insects, and stray branches.
Mm-hmm. See our episode on eye care.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Elbow and knee pads help prevent traumatic injuries in the event of a fall. Cycling gloves significantly reduce superficial hand injuries.
Yep.
In addition to providing insulation in cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So you want to stay hydrated.
Ooh,
drinking water every 15 minutes, even if you don't feel thirsty. Dehydration leads to fatigue, nausea, and in extreme cases, disorientation. Mm. It also, you know, drinking lots of water helps with flexibility. To some extent.
Because
it just keeps your whole body hydrated.
You just got to stay lubricated, man.
Right?
Lubricated. There you go.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, like most of your joints are synovial joints. So every time you move your joint, you're basically lubricating your body. It's like your WD-40.
Motion is the lotion.
There
you go.
Maintain your bike. The importance of maintaining your bike cannot be emphasized enough. Mountain bikes need to be in impeccable condition if it's to carry you safely along the treacherous trails.
Treacherous.
Although in your last podcast,
anybody say spiny?
It sounded like when you guys went to Massachusetts, it was treacherous.
That was treacherous.
Correct.
And they wore pads.
Yeah.
And helmets.
Yeah.
And gloves and glasses and all the things.
Bike setup. Proper positioning on the bike is essential for comfort, ensure proficient and biomechanically correct pedaling. And this, you know, if your bike doesn't fit you right and you're having knee pain, chances are, you know, your seat height or something could be off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like it can cause muscle imbalances, like if you're pulling on, you know, your quads and not necessarily everything equally.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We didn't really talk too much about that, but super important.
And the angle of your saddle with your hip flexors, if you're under load and you have the wrong angle.
Handlebar width and height.
Yep.
Yeah, all of that needs to, if you're having a particular issue, maybe
fit
somebody who knows what they're doing should take a look at your bike fit.
And last on the list, which is perfect for glow, is ride in a group.
Community.
For safety.
Yay.
That's right.
That's awesome. We love that.
Or at least
list.
In your group where you have a million medical professionals.
Yeah, that's right.
That reminds me of one time we were riding with Jerry and he wanted to try this drop and he kind of looks around. He's like, well, I've got two nurses and a wilderness first aid. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
And how'd he do?
He did fine.
Yeah.
There you go. No big surprise. So I want to add just one more thing, which I think is really important, and especially, you know, coming from glow and group rides, is
So this has been great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank for you. So much information on stretching and strengthening and things we can do to keep our bodies in better shape so we don't get injured. But the other thing I want to just throw out there is that the importance of keeping the rest of you healthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, definitely. Like, just overall health. And especially as, you know, our riders are a wide range from teenagers to in well into our 70s. And we want to make sure that if you do have any medical conditions, concerns that you think maybe a group leader or somebody in the group should be aware about, please share that information because that can also cause injury. So if you're a diabetic, please let people in your group know you're diabetic and where your glucose is. If you're allergic to bees, mm-hmm. please let people in your group know and know where your EpiPen is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. Yeah. Or if you have high blood pressure or if you have, you know,
asthma.
Anything.
Yeah. Asthma. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are real concerns. And if you kind of try to hide that you have something going on, that's a good a setup to get injured.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just going to keep up.
I'm fine.
You know, like,
maybe.
Or you know, just do it privately with the leader or the somebody so that somebody knows what's going on. Because those kind of things can turn bad really quickly.
Yeah.
And just communicating them. But also doing your best to keep your health, you know, well-maintained.
Yep. Yeah.
So and you're not showing up with a high glucose or uncontrolled high blood pressure or, you know.
Or know your body, basically.
Yeah.
Or as you age, like in my case where I went riding with my daughter in station, I was sucking wind at the top. I discovered I have adult late onset asthma.
Oh, so gosh.
Now I carry asthma med when I'm biking or stuff like that. But, you know, check in with your doctor.
Yeah.
You know, especially as you age.
Exactly. Because we want to stay riding and we don't want that to be a reason that, oh, I can't keep up anymore. Well, wait, there might be a reason you can't keep up anymore.
That was good.
Right? Like something might be going on. Yeah. So get checked out, get the treatment you need so that you can stay on the trail and stay safe on the trail.
Yep.
Yay!
So,
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Awesome.
So I think we're time for a shout out.
Yes.
So keeping with today's theme.
Yep. We're going to shout out to our one of the local physical therapy offices. We have many, but this is one we picked for today is Be Fit Physical Therapy. And I have been there, avid person.
I've been there too.
You've been there, okay? So they have two offices in Hanover, White River, and White River Junction, Vermont, in the Aquatic Center. But they are awesome. And what I like about it, like, there's a couple of therapists, and if you go, you can ask for a specific one. And so I've gone to Eric, who's one of the owners, and Steve Mann, and they've just been awesome. And you want to say something?
Yeah. I do.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that Steve is a mountain biker.
Oh, yes.
So he gets it.
Yeah, Steve's a mountain biker.
He gets
biker.
It.
And Steve was my therapist when I broke my ankle.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And didn't I hear that he was also a student of yours at one point?
Well, not of mine, but he was at Hitchcock.
So he's wonderful because he gets, like, you know, we have a glow gal who's currently under rehab. And, you know, he understands the risk of, like, putting your foot down and what that could do to her injury and that kind of thing. Which, if you don't bike, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Okay, so Doug and I, we're both retired and we're in our 60s. And we believe we need a physical therapist on call all the time. It's good for your, like, okay, and this is the other thing I do. Thank you, Eric Ellington at BeFit. Every time I go to him, like, for, like, I had a trigger thumb, I had, like, a little bit of sciatica, I'm always like, by the way, like, this other thing hurts, and he helps you with the other thing, too. Like, it's never one thing.
Yeah, and know that it's not always good, especially, like, with shoulder issues. It's not necessarily good to just push through the pain. You should figure it out.
Well, okay, so my husband, he had a shoulder issue. He waited and waited and waited. He should have gone earlier,
because
then it took a longer time to heal. And that's another thing. You should go pretty quickly, and then you can heal right away and not miss miss much biking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or important too is allow your body time to heal before you head back out.
So you don't need surgery.
So hard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So important.
But they have a cool website, Be Fit Physical Therapy. They have articles there, they have a blog, they have FAQs, they have links to things. So even go to their website and check things out.
And then they run
seminars
at the Aquatic Center.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Like for ski season,
and running
and stuff like that. But
Yeah. They're great community members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, get friendly with your local physical therapist.
Yeah. Thank you, BeFit, for all you do for our community.
Yeah.
Keeping us rolling.
Keeping us healthy and injury free.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a great service. I highly recommend
it. Great resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay, cool. Well, this has been such a great episode. We hope you all enjoyed spending this time with us. If you did like us, please give us a thumbs up and a like and share us with all your friends. If you have questions or want to reach out or come ride with us, check us out at
GlowMTB on the socials or mtbglow@gmail.com for email.
And you can check out the website,
www.glowmtb.org,
which has also our rides and all of our cool swag and all the things.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the things. All right. Do we have anything else we want to share?
I don't think so. Get out and ride. It's starting to be riding season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will have by the time this airs.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if we don't see you on the trails soon, we will see you right back here in a couple weeks.
Yep.
All right, everybody.
Kick stands up. Hootie!